portion of Scripture. It's one of those passages where you get to reading and there's about 7, 8, 9 sermons right there as just you read along. Amen. The theologians and church historians tell us that it was written either by David during his flight from Absalom, in which Absalom tried to rent the kingdom from David, or pilgrims during the Assyrian captivity who desired so to go up to Jerusalem to worship, as we sung about tonight, we're marching to Zion. They were carried away in captivity. They didn't get to go up to Jerusalem each year. They longed to, though. It starts out with verses 1 through 4, dwelling in the sanctuary. You see it there in verse number 1. He says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." And that's an exclamation point, ladies and gentlemen. He's not asking. He's telling how wonderful it is. He had love for the sanctuary, verse 1. He longed for the sanctuary, verse 2. Then we see the looks in verse 3, talking about a sparrow and a swallow, how they looked for it. And then life in verse 4. "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, for they will still be praising thee." Verses 5 through 8, dwelling in the sanctuary in the first 4 verses, drawing on the strength in the middle 4 verses. And then lastly, it closes with delighting in the service, where he says, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God." Now, that phrase is important because it was a very lowly position. He said, listen, it would be better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And to that we all say, amen. Amen. Psalm 84:6. Look at it with me. It says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." Let me just tell you a little bit about this valley of Baca tonight. Geographically, this location is known only to God. Nobody, quote unquote, today knows where that particular valley of Baca was. Historically, it was a valley somewhere in Palestine on the way to Jerusalem, and it was a very dry and desolate valley. And that's why the verse itself, it says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." Well, that doesn't make sense, Pastor. It's a dry valley. Why would it be a well? Why would it fill with rain? Well, we're going to look at it. So, geographically, historically, etymologically, the word Baca means weeping. It means weeping. The valley of weeping. Symbolically, this valley represents the deep, foreboding places of life. And we mentioned this morning, thank God for the mountaintop experiences of life. Amen. Thank God for the graduations and the open houses and the marriages and children being born and grandchildren being born. Amen. Thank God for those mountaintops of life, those births and first things. You know, you think about the first things that we're going through that with Katia right now. Boy, she's just in a smiling phase. I'll tell you. I like it. Amen. Every time I see her, I feel like I'm on the mountaintop. Amen. And there's all kinds of things. There's spiritual victories that God gives to us. But you know, there's valleys too, isn't there? Some of you are going through a valley right now. Nobody knows about it but you and your God. Can I tell you something about these valleys represented by the Valley of Baca? There are several valleys in life. I'll go through them. Maybe we'll do a little bit of traveling in our Bible tonight. But I think of the first is the valley of danger. You know, David went down to see his brothers, see how it went. But David, when he went into that valley to see Goliath, it wasn't the first time he had been in the valley of danger. You know what he said to Saul when he saw Goliath out there cursing God and mocking the people of God? He said to him, he said, "Look," he said, "a bear came in and a lion came in to take one of my sheep." And you know what I did? I smacked him. I beat him down, amen. I don't know about you, but I've never taken on a bear and I've never taken on a lion, and I don't really want to. Amen? Then David went down against Goliath, that champion. And verse 48 and 49 says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted, ran into that valley of danger against Goliath." We know what happened. By the way, he was in a valley of danger when he was fleeing from Saul. Anybody remember that? The story of the two javelin throws? Move out of the way once, move out of the way twice. He fled. He fled Absalom. By the way, there are valleys of danger in this Christian life. I think of our missionaries. I think of missionaries in atheistic, communist countries. You know what? They constantly are walking in the valley of danger. That's a valley. What's another valley, Pastor? Oh, I think of the valley of despair. Despair. And by the way, I got a thought just this week on how to master despair. And boy, that God would use that. And I'm sure that'll be a message soon. But think of the valley of despair. When I think of despair in the Bible, I think of the one who was on the ultimate mountaintop experience, and that's Elijah. Elijah had the ultimate mountaintop experience. He, first of all, he had a battle, so to speak, against the false prophets. And you remember in 1 Kings 18, they were shouting and yelling and calling upon their God, and then they started cutting themselves and crying out to Him. And old Elijah, he said, "Get some water, boys. I know there's been a 3.5 year drought, but get some water." So they went and filled up the barrel and put a trench around the offering, and they poured it. He said, "Get some more water." And then he said, "Get some more water." And all the wood was wet. And I like what John R. Rice said. He said, "God can make a fire out of wet wood or dry wood." Amen. And God answered by fire. And the 850 false prophets were slain and taken out of the land. And then in the next chapter, ladies and gentlemen, we find him underneath a juniper tree requesting what? That he might die. Wishing he had never been born. Valleys of despair. If you don't believe in depression, apparently you don't believe in the story of Elijah. Because he certainly was. And may I say this, depression for the Christian many times is a result of direct disobedience, and it's a form of chastening. Amen. You may not like that, but that is absolutely true. Some Christians are depressed because they won't obey God. But some are depressed that are obeying God. Charles Spurgeon, some still think he's the greatest preacher of them all. They called him the Prince of Preachers. Listen to what he said. "Most of us are in some way or another unsound physically. Spurgeon suffered terribly with a joint disorder that was later diagnosed as gout. He was forced to stay in bed, sometimes for weeks at a time, in excruciating pain." I can't imagine that as a pastor. Not being able to get out, be with your people. See your people and visit your people and pray with your people. And he'd be in bed. And he said this, "I have been brought very low," he wrote to his congregation during one long bout. "My flesh has been tortured with pain, and my spirit has been prostrate with depression. With some difficulty, I write these lines in my bed, mingling them with groans of pain and the songs of hope." Despair is a valley, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, if you're in that valley right now, you hang in there. And all God's people said, you hang in there. You hang in there. Danger, despair. How about discouragement? When I think of discouragement, I think of what it must have been like to have been Judah in the Babylonian captivity. Those of you that know your Bible, you know what happened was God had told Judah to keep the Sabbath every seventh year to let the land rest. And by the way, that is sound advice from any farmer. Let the land rest. It'll replenish itself. The nutrients will come back. They didn't do that for 490 years. I say something about that, ladies and gentlemen. God means what He says and says what He means. So God let the land rest for those 70 years when He allowed the Babylonians to come down and take Israel. Just imagine how discouraging it must have been to say, Ben, my age, 42 years old, and you're carried into captivity, and you know that you're going to be there the rest of your life. Discouraging. Discouraging. You know, there are valleys of discouragement in life. Sometimes, sadly, like this time, it was a valley of their own making, wasn't it? There are other times where discouragement comes and tears fill our eyes and we have no idea why. We have no idea why this is happening. Valley of discouragement. I think of Israel in the wilderness. Remember, they were journeying from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, and they were much discouraged because of the way, Numbers 21:4 says. There are valleys of danger and valleys of despair and valleys of discouragement. You know, there are valleys of darkness, aren't there? Valleys of darkness. When I think of the valley of darkness, you can't help but think of Job. Job 1:10, hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Satan accused God of having a hedge about Job, and he tried to tell God that Job only served him for what he would get out of it. And as soon as God lifted that hedge, you remember, the Sabaeans came and killed Job's oxen and servant. Fire from heaven destroyed Job's sheep and servants. The Chaldeans came, stole Job's camels and killed his servants. And then all of Job's children were killed. There cannot be a deeper valley of darkness than to bury one child, let alone ten. Job 19:80 said, He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my paths. Darkness. All you really want is light, and all God's people said, when you're walking through that valley of darkness. Oh, I think of the valley of darkness, discouragement, despair, danger. How about the valley of doubt? Valley of doubt. See, there's a character in the Bible that I would have never thought could succumb to this valley. And his name was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one who it was said of him before he was born, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Special dispensation that God gave to John the Baptist, the Nazarite vow. And he was the one who said of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And when Jesus came to him to be baptized, he said, look, I need to be baptized by you. I'm not even worthy to take the shoe latchet off of your foot, let alone baptize you. And then it was John who stood before the king and Herod and said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. What a courageous man of God. Thank God for men of God that stand. Amen. I appreciate men of God in my life that have stood. And he stood for righteousness. He said, it's not lawful for you to have her. And by the way, Jesus was the one who said about John the Baptist that among those that are born of women, Luke 7:28, there is not a greater than John the Baptist. Doubt? Yeah, right. No way. Not John. Oh yes. The best of the best was overcome with doubt. Matthew 11, chapter 11, verses 2 and 3 said, now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Doubt. It's a valley, folks. Can you think of somebody else that was overcome by doubt? Doubting Thomas. This is somebody that walked and talked with the Lord. physically. And you know, of course, what the Lord said. He said, go ahead, put your fingers in the nail prints and put your hand in my side. I don't want you to be doubting. And then, by the way, he made those great, great statements. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. There are valleys of doubt. If you're in that valley of doubt, hang in there. Hang in there. Doubt, darkness, discouragement, despair, danger. How about the valley of difficulties? Some people just seems like they just never can get ahead. It seems like every time they try to do something for God, difficulty sets right in the path there. There's another person like that. His name was Paul. You know what it says of Paul? He said, are they ministers of Christ? 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27. I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. Said, I can't even count how many beatings I've received. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Certainly, not everybody is a Paul, but listen, the valley of difficulty can affect each one of us. Difficulty. You know, there's a final valley. And we haven't passed through it yet. But it's the valley of death, isn't it? I think of Stephen. Godly deacon. Godly deacon. Stood up, preached the Word of God, and everybody was fine with his interpretation. They just didn't care for his application very much. When he looked out at those Jews and said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. What did they do? They took up stones and they stoned him. What did he say? He was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Kneel down and cry with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin at their charge. Probably the most dreaded valley is the valley of death. I want to read our text again. That's introduction. It's introduction. I don't mean I'm just getting started, by the way. It's okay. That was the introduction. Verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. How is it possible to take the dry, barren, desert valleys of danger, despair, and discouragement, and darkness, and doubt, and difficulty, and even death, and make them into an overflowing well? I give you 3 reasons tonight. And right there in our text, too, verses 5 through 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Number one, how can we make these dry valleys into a well? Number one, the presence of God. The presence of God. I saw yesterday a friend of mine who I had met last year, as a matter of fact, through my little hobby, which is a baseball game I've been playing since I was 7 years old. I met this fellow last year, and we traveled together down to Chicago, and I went to a little tournament down there and drove back, just had good fellowship, found out he's a young Christian, and he had mentioned that his wife had gone into the hospital and had some serious things going on. And he had just put it up, and I put, praying for you. Praying for you. And I saw all kinds of other things that rung so hollow. Hope she's okay. Listen, there's nothing wrong with saying, I hope she's okay. My thoughts are with you. Do you know what? My thoughts don't affect heaven. My prayers do. My prayers do. You can have all the niceties and all that, but you know what, ladies and gentlemen? You know what can make the dry valley a well? The presence of Almighty God in our lives. The presence of God. When we go through these dry valleys, look what it says there, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. You see, to have the strength of God, you must have His presence. God said in Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. My wife's favorite verses are Romans 8:38 and 39. Why, Pastor? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is it that can allow God's saints to walk through the deepest valleys? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's the presence of Almighty God in our lives. It's the presence of God. It's knowing God and knowing that He's there. Psalm 23, you know it. You've heard it by many a graveside. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. That's presence. To lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. That's presence. Beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. That's presence. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Presence. For His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Christian, you never go through a valley alone. God is with you. God is with you. God goes with you. John 14, 16 and 17, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. Hebrews 13, 5, God said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What's the first key to turning a valley, dry valley, into a well? The presence of God. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. David Livingston said he staked his life on that verse, that no matter what he went through, God would be with him. He said it's the word of a gentleman. Psalm 31:20 says, Thou shalt hide them in the secret of Thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. First key to turning a dry valley into a well is the presence of God. Secondly, we talked about it a little bit this morning, so I'll not tarry long on the second point. Look at verse 7, please. It says, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. The second thing tonight, not only the presence of God, but the provision of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to report to you today that the Father in heaven provides for His children. And many times in miraculous ways, and all God's people said. Thank God. Amen. Thank God He does. Deuteronomy 2:7, For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through the great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. 1 Kings chapter 17, you remember the story of Elijah. God told him, he said, "Get to the brook Cherith, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee." I don't know about you, but I can't imagine receiving food from a raven. First of all, I can't imagine what it would be. Because every time I see one of them, they're on the side of the road pecking away, amen? But I bet it was good. I just can't imagine what the raven was thinking as he had a big slice of meat in his mouth and probably mumbling like old Muttley from the old cartoons. Can't believe this, amen? I got to give this to the man of God. Why? Because God provides. Because God's provided some amazing things for some of you. Think of your job. I think of those of you that have worked your years and now you're like that widow with the oil. You just keep giving and God just keeps supplying. Amen? Amazing. The provision of God. It says there that they go from strength to strength. Where does this strength come from? It comes from the provision of God. George Mueller knew the provision of God. Mr. Mueller was an incredible prayer warrior. And he ran an orphanage in England in the 19th century. The following story was taken from Ed Reese's A Great Cloud of Witnesses. It says, "One morning the plates and cups and bowls on the table were empty. There was no food and no money to buy any food. The children were standing, waiting for their morning meal, when Mueller said, 'Children, you know we must be in time for school.' Lifting his hand, he said, 'Dear Father, we thank Thee for what Thou art going to give us to eat.' As he was praying, there was a knock at the door. The baker stood there and said, 'Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you didn't have bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread and have brought it.' Mueller thanked the man. No sooner had this transpired, there was a second knock. It was the milkman. He had announced that the milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage, and he would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so he could empty his wagon to repair it." What is that, ladies and gentlemen? The provision of God. The provision of God. What can take that dry well that you're in and make it, or that dry valley that you're in and make it a well? It's the provision of God. Isn't it amazing? You could be in one of those valleys or of doubt or despair, of difficulty or discouragement or danger, and God provide for you, and you're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen? It's absolutely amazing. It shouldn't be amazing to us, but it is so many times. Would we ever forget the story of Abraham and Isaac, and we mentioned it this morning, how God provided that ram in the thicket. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" God provides, ladies and gentlemen. God provides. Some of you upped your missions giving this year, not knowing how, but God provides. God provides. And all God's people said, God provides. The presence of God. The provision of God. And then lastly tonight, I must confess, this is my favorite point. Verse 6. It says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well." Passing through. Passing through. We're not supposed to stay in the valley. Because there's the presence of God, there's the provision of God, and there's the pilgrimage of God. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. You know that old song? It's in our old-fashioned revival songbook. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You see, the Valley of Baca is not the final destination. It's just a stopping place. What about you? We go out, you travel, and you go along, and you see different places, and I think about some of the odd places over the years where we've stopped. My wife and I was heading up for a soccer tournament years ago. And we were going through New England, going through beautiful Vermont, and we were driving, and the engine blew. Boom! And by the way, don't tell me not to travel. That was a very long time ago, and we had a really good streak up till last year. Amen. And the engine blew. And we stayed at probably the creepiest motel I've ever seen in my life in the middle of Vermont. And everything was from the 60s or 70s. Everything was pleather. And I had a picture on the wall, and I half thought the eyes were going to start moving. Amen. And the picture was just, it was such a weird spot. And I thought to myself, it was kind of a hotel. You just sit down on the bed like this. Amen. You just, okay, I'll sleep like this. It was just weird. Amen. Something out of Scooby-Doo. But you know what? It wasn't the final destination.
No.
You're in despair right now. Hang on. Hang on. Presence of God. Provision of God. It'll help you get through that valley.
Yeah.
Through the pilgrimage of God. Nobody stayed in Baca. They were going to Jerusalem. They were going to the city of God. That's where we're going, folks. You know, one day all the valleys will be done. It'll be just mountaintop for all eternity. For now, let the presence of God help you to turn that valley, that dry place that you're in, into a well. Let the provision of God encourage you. Let it turn that dry valley into a well. And let the pilgrimage of God, the fact that, hey, We're not staying in this valley forever. Thank God, the more you grow in your faith, the more you realize that there are valleys in life, but you get through them. Come on.
Amen.
You get through them. And that's what God wants. The presence of God, the provision of God, the pilgrimage of God will help us to turn the dry valley of Baca into a well. Father, thank you.